Welcome to episode 222 of Magic the Amateuring. That's right, it's a palindrome.
That's right. It's backwards and forwards exactly the same. And it's true also if you listen to this episode
That's right.
in reverse.
Yes.
It will be exactly the same episode that you listen to forwards.
And if you listen to this episode backwards while watching The Wizard of Oz,
it's a really special treat. It lines up perfectly.
It is incredible. At least one person, please attempt this.
Please. And let us know exactly how it changes your viewing of The Wizard of Oz or how many minutes you get into this experience before ditching it.
Before ditching it or before something so transcendent happening in the experience of listening to this and watching Wizard of Oz that you simply must tweet at us.
Please tell you what, if you do that and you manage to survive the longest and you send us some piece of evidence via email, we will send you a booster of Amonkhet.
Yes, we will.
One booster.
One booster, so worth it.
One booster of Amonkhet.
MagicTheAmateuring@gmail.com. Please do this.
Yes, 100%. That is like, that's a clear promise.
Yeah, it
Whether
is.
Or not I think anyone will attempt to claim that booster.
We'll see.
I mean, like, you probably at this point only have to, like, if you got like 3 minutes in,
you'd probably win.
You'd probably win it, you guys.
So just saying.
There you go.
I mean, you have to figure out how to listen to us backwards.
Backwards. That's your problem.
You'll figure it out. You're smart people. You listen to us, right?
So on today's episode, besides listening to it backwards and finding the exact same thing forwards and backwards, we're going to be talking about the Amonkhet pre-release.
Yay!
Which happened this past weekend and was so exciting.
Yes, Amonkhet now available to draft on Magic Online as well, earlier than usual.
I already drafted once because I could not help it.
I know. How are you supposed to stop?
Like, I don't know.
It's like putting a jar of candy out in front of you and you're hungry, you know, from you've been a week without food. You don't care that you're probably gonna get sick. You're just like, give me that candy.
Yep. It's like oxygen. If it's if you're in a room, you're gonna breathe it.
Yep. It's so true. And we have a booster here that we're gonna crack later in the show, which will go into our pile for our Patreon giveaway, Flavor Text Theater.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next point. Not Flavor Text Theater. Patreon.com. Thank you.
That's right. /MTAcast.
Yes.
Thank you so much to everyone who is a patron of the show. Whether you are contributing $1 an episode, $5 an episode, however much you chip in towards the show, it helps us keep doing what we do.
And everybody who is a member of our Patreon family is just that, a member of our family. We can't thank everybody enough who has chosen to become new members this month. And we'll be doing our drawing, as I mentioned, at the end of this episode, because this is the last of April.
Holy.
So, it always sneaks up on me. So drawing for this month at the end of the show. Next month, a new one will start. And we do two separate ones. One for somebody who is a brand new Patreon supporter and somebody who's been a Patreon supporter for any amount of time. So anybody can win. And you already win because you're supporting content that matters to you. And that feels really good. Whenever we're charged at the end of the month, I'm always like, oh, yay, we're supporting content creators that we like. So hopefully you get the same feeling, too.
Thank you as well to our sponsor, Card Kingdom, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. You can pick up lots of sick Amonkhet singles and boosters, as well as an item which we're showing off today, which is these battle decks that they have formulated to battle against one another.
And they've got great names.
As I am demonstrating in this video, can see this is how battling works. Claws and Effect.
Oh my gosh, good.
Is this Teemer colored decks, battle decks name.
Makes sense.
We also have Flight Club.
Love it.
Blue White Flyer. Cruise Control.
Vehicles.
Black. Yeah. Black Metal, which is a mono black deck. And Marsh Madness.
So we're going to throw one of these into our giveaway today as well, and we'll continue to do so. These are really cool, but you can pick them up, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. A great way to learn the game and battle against your friends. Probably teach them the game as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So besides all that, of course, Amonkhet pre-release coming up, the banned and restricted update. We're going to go over that because we had some big news / no news at all.
We had big news and lack of news.
Yep. No news at all. And I just want to point out that these notes for the show are written on a notebook, which has Megan's top 10 list of pastries.
That's right.
Written in it.
Do you guys want to hear them?
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, we're sitting here. We're just like, okay. Oh, what could they be? Maybe you do five now and five at the end of the episode.
So the so I'm gonna tell you guys this. But the thing is that I will tell you that I have not ranked them inside the top 10.
Okay.
I know simply that these are the top 10, but as for like a number one and a number 10 and all the stuff in between, I don't have that.
Okay.
But here are the first five.
All right.
Pie.
Yes.
Any pie. Baklava.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, so good.
I really, really love, like, a really good baklava is amazing.
Amazing.
Cannoli. Same with cannoli.
Yeah.
It has to be a really amazing cannoli. Chocolate croissant.
Oh, I've never had one.
Oh, man. Okay, so next week we'll go to Baker's Wife.
Okay.
It's a bakery. They have amazing chocolate croissants. And empanadas.
Oh, yes.
Ugh. Yeah, man, you guys. So when I was growing up, this is like a very much an aside.
This whole list is
really
besides this the fact
even,
that
even bigger aside.
An aside within an aside.
Yes. When I was growing up, like one of the places that we lived, like during my sophomore and junior year of high school,
yeah,
the house that we lived in was around the corner. Like if you went like up the block and then took a right and like a block later,
there was an empanada.
There was a Mexican bakery.
Oh, I was thinking
and
there's just
every
one
morning,
sitting there every morning on the ground waiting. For
but we would go every Monday. We would go to this bakery and get
so good
fruit empanadas, and they were amazing.
Now that you're all starving, let's
talk about magic.
Almond Cat pre-release.
That's right. It happened.
It happened, and it happened hard.
Yeah, it did. I brought cards. I brought my decks.
As did I.
Not my entire thing because one of them I pulled apart.
Okay.
But I brought the, you know, key cards.
Yes.
From each deck. Maria, you were not in town.
No.
It was very odd.
The last pre-release, you didn't pre-release, and that
was
odd.
That's true. It was really odd.
So,
in fact, this was the first weekend in 2 years that I've gotten to fully pre-release.
Really?
Yeah, because I was in grad school. I've been in grad school for 2 years.
Crazy.
I think we had the pre-release in there, and that was like the only one.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, that was
you're
really,
right.
Really
and boy, does it,
it
feel good to get a full weekend of pre-release in there, doesn't it?
Oh my God.
It?
Okay, do you know what? I almost didn't pre-release on Sunday, and I woke up on Sunday morning, and I was just like, I gotta.
Yes. Yes, you do. I mean,
I gotta do it.
I need that sweet pre-release action.
I need that pre-release.
And the best part is that, like, a lot of people, even prior to playing this pre-release, had been saying, this set looks sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even heard people say this may be one of the great all-time sets, which is so early to be making a claim like that.
But
it's been made. And what can I say?
Such exciting mechanics in it.
It was fantastic to play at the pre-release.
Oh, Maria, I'm in love with cycling.
Cycling?
Cycling is amazing.
Is incredible. This is the first time that it's been in a set for either of us.
Yeah.
Other than, was it even in any Modern Masters or anything?
Maybe. There were some cards with it, but no, not really.
So this is many noted pros, one of their favorite mechanics of all time, and it is easy to know why.
It's great.
Oh.
It does draw a card. It's so good.
It helps out with your mana. If you're flooded, you know what? Cast it. Maybe if you're not flooded, you could go get a land. Maybe you don't want that card anymore. Who cares? Cash it in.
It's great.
Cycling.
It's really great.
I was getting into a bit of an argument with our mutual friend Chuck because I wanted cycling to be evergreen.
Oh, yeah.
And I said,
wow.
Chuck.
Like, it's so good.
Cycling is incredible. And I want it to be evergreen. And he's like, no, 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 because blue is losing too much of its color identity. And so,
I mean, I do sympathize with that. We talked last week about Glorious End, the end, the turn, which has been like such a blue. It's like one of the blue things.
Right.
And they're just like, nah, we're going to staple this. You lose. And like call it a red spell.
Red.
It's like, wait a second. That does feel like blue stuff.
Yeah.
I get that. But I mean, I get it a little bit.
I understand where he's coming from totally, but
it's so good.
It's so good. It makes
so good
gameplay so much better. It smooths out everything. And
it's so interesting.
Ugh. the decisions you have to confront is like, ah, especially with a card that's like the 7 mana, which you gain control of the creature.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can cycle it.
Yeah.
What is it, like Hand of the God Pharaoh? No, it can't be that because that would be bolus. Anyway, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And it costs 7, so you've got to wait a long time to cast it.
Yeah.
Or you have to make the hard decision to throw it away to draw a card.
Yep.
And I think that decision tree is really makes for interesting gameplay, besides the fact that you're just screwed and flooded way less often as well, which is a plus.
Oh, man. Or like Greater Sandworm.
Yeah.
I had that in a deck.
Greater Sandworm looks awesome.
7 mana, 7/7.
Sick.
Or you can cycle it for 2.
Yeah. Like, sure.
Pretty great. Pretty great. I also, do you know, I'm loving Embalm.
Embalm, also great.
Crazy powerful.
It's so powerful.
So powerful.
So the common...
It's like the easiest way to 2-for-1 a person that ever was.
You don't have to do any work.
No.
You just have to play this creature and probably play anyway.
Literally, you have to play a creature that says Embalm on it. And like, it's already a 2-for-1.
So like, okay, got jeez, there.
Jeez.
Yeah, Embalm, fantastic. A flashback for creatures, it's been called. And basically, the thinking is now that any creature with Embalm... You know what? Play it.
Take it. Play it. It's great.
It's good. Even if it looks like kind of a stinky, like, average creature, guess what? Because it has Embalm on it, it's worth it.
Yeah.
L'Oreal, remember? We now know that's L'Oreal.
It's worth it.
I remember we had this argument. You're worth it. You're worth it.
You're worth it.
Embalm. L'Oreal. You're worth it.
You're worth it.
Seriously, I had a blue-white deck. We'll talk about this a little later, but Embalm, fantastic. Cycling, fantastic. How did you play any with Exert at all?
I played a little bit. As we'll talk about on the second day, I played, what's the dragon? The great dragon.
Oh, yeah, the red one?
Yep, the awesome dragon. I exerted that dragon quite a bit.
Of course you did.
I played it on turn 5. And swung in for 4, and it killed a creature.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah. Seems good.
Is insane.
Exert.
Is insane.
I think is a mechanic that you can build a deck around it. I've played against somebody who played a white, red, green Exert deck.
Yeah.
That those are the main colors of Exert, and then was able to pump the team a bunch of time with the white trial and a series of cartouches.
Yeah,
and just keep pumping their team and giving them vigilance, and it was really good.
That's crazy. Or like today, I drafted a deck that had the 2 green white 4/4.
Yes,
that if you exert it, it untaps the rest of your team.
Yeah.
So, and I wasn't even playing an Exert deck. I just took it because it was a 4-mana 4/4, and I was like, yes,
yeah, get in the deck.
Great.
Fabulous. Aftermath. Great.
And even then you can. Oh, Aftermath. Love it.
Also love it.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's great.
-1/-1 counters.
Great.
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 I made a sweet black-green -1/-1 counter deck.
Nice.
With 2 Nest of Scarabs because I wanted to get there.
Really?
I even passed the new murder of the set that kills a creature planeswalker, and then it's got aftermath with something else.
Yeah.
And I know that's what I should take, but I wanted to take another Nest of Scarabs, you guys.
Wow.
I'm not saying it was the right decision. It was the wrong decision for sure.
You made someone really happy,
but
though.
Yes, I did. Yeah. That's true. I just really wanted to draft the Nest deck, and it is a deck. Can confirm. Yeah. You can make a lot of bugs.
Awesome.
If they were zombies, that deck would be straight busted.
Yeah. Anyway. I did play against someone today who tried to have a black-red -1/-1 counter deck. But mine, I was playing a Bant Embalm deck.
Yeah.
And it was just like, Embalm was too strong against that. Because it's like, okay, you can kill my creature, but like, here it comes back.
I think it's too early to know if the draft format is really aggressive or if it's more... long game. I think it's kind of fair to say that the sealed format, I do believe, is longer game.
Yes, it definitely felt that way.
But yeah, the black-red deck, it wants to be aggressive and wants you to discard your hand. But I think that's not... it doesn't have as much synergy as the other decks do.
I also... So in this draft, like, because I had heard some people saying that it is aggressive, but I ended up drafting, I included cards like, I was playing New Perspectives, the draw 3?
Yes.
Great. I was playing just the 6/7 hexproof for 6 mana.
Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great. And the 7-mana 4/4 Indestructible Angel.
Oh, yeah.
And
big
like,
time.
That felt really good. I ended up getting...
Wait, the 6/7 hexproof? What is that one? Is that blue?
It's no, it's uncommon.
Oh, okay.
And it's green. And it's four green green.
Okay,
got six, it. 6-7 hex proof for uncommon.
Sick.
And it's like very good.
Seems super good.
It's really good. The one I ended up losing was I played against an insane token maker deck.
Yeah.
That was just like, it had the Oketra's Monument making all of these 1/1s. And then it had just like, it had the thing that like, if you make a token, it makes two tokens instead.
Yep.
And they had a bunch of embalm things. So I just got like run over by that.
That deck is real. And I know some people were a little skeptical if you could have a goal wide strategy in this format. And I think you definitely can. Yes. And it involves Oketra's Monument.
Yes. Very good. Really good.
So let's talk a little bit about what have you brought with us today to show us today, yes. Megan?
Well, first we can talk about my deck that happened on Saturday.
Yes.
Which was straight four colors.
Why? Because you just didn't have
It was okay. My rares were not crazy strong.
Yeah.
In fact, several times this weekend, I looked at rares that were ones that we named in our video.
Well, you know,
worst rares to open in your Amonkhet pre-release pool. But I did have New Perspectives, draw three.
Yeah.
Sick. Liliana's Mastery.
Yeah.
Three black for 2/2 zombies and zombies get +1/+1.
Sweet.
So great. Obviously, you get 6 power for 5 mana.
Yep.
Over 2. Cut to Ribbons. Great card.
Seems great.
I had it both days. I played it both days. There were times I won a match because my opponent forgot that I had Ribbons in the graveyard. Yeah. Even though I had it doing its thing.
Yeah.
So they let themselves go to like 3 and I was like, Ribbons-y for the rest. Great. And then it had just, you know, some other stuff. It had, I had a bunch of the rare lands. I had 2 rare lands, a Canyon Slow and then the blue-white one.
Did you play them anyway just for the cycling ability or were they
fixing? The black-red one I did for fixing. The blue-white I didn't. Just because white was the one color I wasn't playing.
Yep.
Then I also had Spring to Mind as some fixing. I had Trial of Zeal and Trial of Strength.
Yes.
This is the day I had three trials and no cartouches.
No!
And
no,
since I was color, I was like, I literally would have played a cartouche of any color.
You know what? People are playing lots of off-color cartouches if they have, like, say, only the green enchantment that fixes your mana.
Yeah.
Just for the blue cartouche, for instance.
Yeah.
Which is so strong.
It's so good. Like, bouncing trials. I wish I could have bounced trials. Good. It would have been insane. And then I had, let's see. Oh, so Painted Bluffs is fixing.
Yeah.
And then I had 2 of the Gift of... What is it? Gift of...
All
we just talked about
it. All of my brain wants to say is Orzhova, but Paradise.
Gift of Paradise.
Yeah.
So I had like those that I played and then the green mana, the one green mana 03 that you can like go get a land and then Chef at Monitor.
Yes.
Which I played as a 6/5 a heck of a lot of times.
So good.
I also played the 5/5 for 5 a lot.
Colossipede.
Tons. Played it tons.
I mean, just big beefy for 5.
But one of my favorite cards of the day was Edifice of Authority.
Yeah, that card is sweet.
Yes. So this is 3 mana for an artifact. It says 1 tap, target creature can't attack this turn. Put a brick counter on Edifice of Authority. 1 and tap until your next turn, target creature can't attack or block, and its activated abilities can't be activated. Activate this ability only if there are 3 more brick counters on Edifice of Authority. Like, just great.
Because just a tapper, and as we know, tappers are pretty powerful in every
one
format.
1 mana tapper.
And this one...
Yeah, 1 mana to tap it. So good.
You can put it in any color deck, so...
Yeah, and then later on, like, you can... So it does it so that you don't even have to wait until their turn. Once you have those brick counters on, you can do it on their turn.
Yeah.
Or on your turn and attack in, and it still can't do anything on their turn. It's just a stupid thing hanging around.
Great. So strong.
So great. So, Maria, tell us about your Saturday deck.
Okay, so here I'm bringing it out. This deck was sick. So I dropped a round, which I blame on flooding 2 games.
Fair enough.
But because this deck is so good that I felt like, you know how I felt when I sat down to play like in Minneapolis?
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like I'm going to win with that white deck at GP Minneapolis. That's kind of how I felt with this bad beast.
Nice.
Okay. So let's take a look. It was blue-white. So what does blue-white want to do? It wants to fly around and it wants to cycle and embalm. Which I did. So here's my lovely foil cartouche of knowledge. I mean, you just want that. Illusory Wrappings, I want to point out, makes the creature an 0/2.
Yeah.
Is fine. You know, like it's
totally
not
okay.
Where you want to be. But guess what? That's what you get when you're in blue. And it honestly did exactly what I needed it to do, which was deal with a bomb. Made an O2.
I definitely played my copy of it.
You don't have to worry about it. Yeah. I have Jero's Resolve in here. DeJero, I'm not quite sure how to say it, but I did not play it ever, I don't think, to untap something or prevent damage, but rather just a cycle, which nice. Was fine. Essence Scatter, still great. Compulsory Rest.
Really great.
Really good.
Really great.
Gale Strike. Return target tapped creature to its owner's hand. Draw a card. Solid yeah. AF. I mean, there's Embalm running around. Naga Oracle. It's a 2/4. Basically, essentially, you scry Ooh. 3 and you can dump them or keep them on top in any order.
I played that on Sunday.
I think great. That card is good.
Great.
I had random embalmers like Unwavering Initiate.
Unwavering Initiate is the 3/2
yeah.
with Vigilance
yes.
for 3 mana and it embalms for 5.
Yes.
That card is great.
I think it's really good too.
I went 3-1 on Saturday and the only round that I lost was to a player who was playing multiples of Unwavering Initiate and it just 2-for-1'd me all the time.
Yeah, right?
All the time. It was terrible.
Because it's got 3 power and Vigilance.
Yeah.
So it hits you pretty hard, and then it just sits there and is like, well, I'm going to block. Well,
like, what are you going to do?
And Embalm incentivizes you to trade.
Yeah.
And so, like,
and you then just they trade, just bring just it back, and they're like, here's another 3/2 with Vigilance, and you're
so
like,
so good.
Burgle, burgle.
Let's talk about my flyers. Avon Mind Sensor, Flash yeah. Burb.
Burb.
Burb. Avon Wind Guide, which is kind Great. Of the keystone card in blue-white skies. But here is the hallmark, Angel of Sanctions.
Oof.
The card, which is better
so
than any card, has the gosh darn right to be. This card is insane. It has,
yeah.
What is it called? Banisher Priest attached to it, so it takes yeah. Not just so a creature though. It's anything,
any non-land permanent. So it's 3 white for a 3/4 flying that can exile any permanent.
Yeah,
as long as it's on the battlefield, and it has
embalm. So if somehow they manage to deal with it. Guess
like
what?
If they kill it
they
once.
Deal with it twice.
So great. Good. And you're just like, okay, bring it. Bring
Zenith
it a
Seeker.
Second time.
It's a flying 2/2 that gets a bonus when you cycle.
Yeah,
who cares?
Pretty cool.
Seraph of the Sun is a 7 mana one that you were talking about. Indestructible mm-hmm. Flyer. Totally fine. Wind
totally,
Shepherd.
Totally good.
3/3 with cycling for a single white for a 3/3 flyer with Vigilance. Angler Drake, which is just amazing.
Angler Drake.
Bounce something.
I played one of those suckers on Sunday.
So good.
So good.
Especially with Embalm, River Serpent. I had Fan Bear. Anyway, so I could go on
so
and on
good.
About this deck, but it was so great. And to top it all off, I opened an Invocation. There it is.
Ooh, it's so pretty.
Divert.
Let me see this in person, because I was one of the people who was saying maybe these aren't as bad.
That's what most
you know
people
what?
Are saying now.
Like, I think it looks really cool.
It does.
It looks really cool. Look at that.
Yeah.
It goes all the way to the edges.
I know.
Like, it... Oh,
it's very pretty.
I think it looks great.
And I think it's not one of the more valuable ones, but it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's so pretty. It looks really
cool. I think
it's
cool. In a legacy deck or something. I didn't put it in this one because it just seemed a little too much like people would be able to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, it was a cool experience. So now I can't complain about not opening one of these the whole set, which is what I normally do.
I pulled out my deck from Sunday,
one.
Which is a little bit different. One, I have to say, I played so much card draw this weekend, and it made me so happy. I played 2 Hieroglyphic Illumination in this deck. 3 and a blue to draw
yes.
2 cards, or you can cycle it for a blue. So good.
It's so that art is sick, too.
I played Gift of Paradise again. This deck had 2 Evolving Wilds and was solidly 3 colors.
Yep.
I had a Glorybringer. There we go.
There's that's
that.
A dragon.
Hoof. And that on a red splash. So this
you're braver
this
than
deck
I am.
Was green blue with a red splash for Glorybringer and cut and electrify and like maybe I don't remember if I had something
How
else.
How many is
2 mountains, 2 evolving wilds.
Oh, yeah.
A Shefet Monitor and a Gift of Paradise.
Okay.
And you know what? Like I cast it a lot of times.
That is good to know, actually.
I cast it a whole bunch. My only loss that day was to a friend of ours from town who had like just one of the more bonkers decks.
Yeah.
It was green-white. He had the 5-mana Cat Lord.
Yes, Cat Lord.
The 3/4 with Exert where you can put a creature into play if you exert it.
Oh.
And those aren't even, like, that one's not even the most crazy. It was just, his deck was very, very good. So, yeah, this one had another Colossipede in it. 5 mana, 5/5, OP.
Yeah, it's great.
OP. This one had, like, a fun interaction between, I kept a Hapetra's Mark in there because I have to say that in Sealed, really liked it because it gives a creature hexproof.
Yeah.
I saved something many times. So Ornery Kadu, which is the 2 and a green 3/4 that when it enters the battlefield, you put a -1/-1 counter on something.
Yeah.
Well, I did play Greater Sandworm and Angler Drake in this.
Oh, so good.
So, but anyways, this had the interesting interaction with, I also had a Glyph Keeper.
Okay.
Which was my other great, great rare. 3 blue-blue for a 5/3 flyer.
Unbeatable.
When it becomes the target of a spell or ability for the first time each turn, counter that spell or ability. So guess what? If you have this on the table and you just like happen to play an Ornery Kadu or like the Crocodile, you can put the counter on Glyphkeeper, but Glyphkeeper counters that ability.
Oh, sick.
Like obviously don't do it if your opponent has mana up, but if my opponent was like tapped out, I'd just be like, yep, try and put the counter on this. Like it says no. And then this just have like my 3/4 and my 5/3. It was a lot of fun. I also had Quarry Hauler, which was mostly to take -1/-1 counters off of my own things. I really like that card. I got one very late in draft today. And so I feel like it's underrated right now. It's a 4 mana, 4/3. And if you have a deck, especially a deck that's putting -1/-1 counters on its own stuff.
Yeah.
It's so great because it just takes it off. It's just like, so you could play this like the Ornery Kadu on 3 and the Quarry Hauler on 4, which happened a lot for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I have a 3/4 and a 4/3 on turn 4.
What are you going to do?
Exactly. Like try and attack through this.
It also helps you kill something potentially for your opponent when you're more playing green black.
Yeah. Because, you can add more counters on something that they have. It was great. It was great. I played the 7 mana Sandworm.
Did you get Greater that? Sandworm. You get that worm out?
Oh yeah. Many times. Most of the time I cast it.
That's the thing, because I had no real trouble casting my 7 mana angel and you had no real trouble casting that 7 mana worm.
No. Ooh, okay. We'll say one more card that I loved. I had Mouth to Feed in this deck. And there was a game that I was like so borderline, like I had some mana issues early on and like I was having a tough time. And then early on I cast, or like, not even early on, like I got to 7 mana and I had a couple of creatures in play and I cast Mouth and I cast Feed and drew 4 cards. And I just like easily went on to win that. Oh my
gosh. Did you say when you cast it, I cast Mouth? Did you say that?
Yes.
Weird.
Like I'm going to cast Mouth. Here's a hippo.
There's no weirder. I'm going to go on record and be like, there's no weirder card to say I cast Mouth.
Look at this hippo. A wonderful listener token. Who I was playing.
Oh,
gave me the hippo
that's
token.
That's awesome. That's a cute token.
Isn't it really cute? There's all these flamingos around him. He's like, and all these flamingos are like, no, running away.
Oh, I have to see where I'm at in my zombie token collection. I don't know if I can't remember if I got any or not for Embalm specifically.
Oh, that's right. So like,
no, I don't have any.
I could talk about this draft or this weekend forever because I just had such a good time.
So, I mean,
I had a great time playing this sealed format.
So it is such a fun sealed format.
Yeah. That's really great.
My takeaway. It was all the games were interesting and fun. And I know I talked about Flood, but that was kind of like very rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, while I was flooding, I would have flooded even harder and felt like like I had less control over what was happening to me, which, let's be honest, variance in Magic is something that we need and is something that makes the game great. But with the help of this set with Embalm and cycling or whatever, it does help to make it feel better. And I just,
it's so good.
Just loved it.
It's so good. I also had a really great time. Like I love the cycle, like the Chef at Monitor, and I played the white one today in my draft where one and a white and you cycle it and you gain 2. Great.
Yeah. So
I love that cycle of cards.
Congrats to the people who made this set, because so far playing out awesomely. Still got to play more draft to see what that's all about. But I'm not complaining there.
Nope.
You guys should all, by the way, come follow us on twitch.tv/magicTheAmaturing and follow us so that you get notified when we stream, because we're definitely going to be streaming some Amonkhet Megan.
Yeah, we are.
Including tonight, you're listening to this in the future, so you missed it. But don't feel bad, because you can follow us and you'll find out for the future.
Yeah.
Banned and restricted announcement.
Hey, everybody. There was a B&R announcement yesterday.
Every so often, the hammer comes down from above, the great hammer of bands, and smashes a card right in its little face.
Or the hammer is held back. Mm. The great Hephaestus of wizards being paused in their work.
In their mercy.
By the hand of wizard Zeus. This is getting away from me, I'll admit it.
I just really it started out pretty good.
Look, I really wanted to get my Hephaestus mention in there,
It's fabulous.
He just does not get enough credit.
No.
Sweet you hammering. Might also know him as Vulcan, God of the Forge. Anyways.
God of the Forge. Just like, sweet name. And that's what we call their red god in Theros.
Yeah, right? Perforos, God of the Forge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sick.
Anyways, moving on.
The ban hammer came down hard on a couple of cards, but not in standard.
That's right. The cards that everyone was were hoping slash expecting to see banned remain alive, alive and well, thriving even.
A lot of people were thinking, oh, perhaps our cat friend will get shown the door.
Yes. Excuse me, cat. There's the door.
There's the door.
There's
get
the
out.
Door. Perhaps like many cats, they tried to show the cat the door and it simply would not leave.
It was like,
It was like, I don't.
The cat came back the
next day. And they were like, okay, I guess we can't.
Felidar Guardian, still legal.
Yes. But, you know, everything else also. Heart of Kieran, Gideon, all
Gideon's
still chilling.
Heart of Kieran. Yeah. So people were hoping for this ban, I think because they wanted to shake up the standard format a little bit and they were tired of the top three decks essentially dominating the format.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if the no bans manages to have other decks rise to the top and beat these decks at the Pro Tour coming up in Nashville, or if those decks remain in standard. And if they do remain the top decks, I think after the Pro Tour, we're 100% going to see a ban.
Don't throw around numbers like 100%, Maria.
I just did, though.
Wow.
I just did.
Wow.
Because they'll reevaluate after the PT.
Yes. I mean, I don't disagree.
Yeah. So I think that's what will happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm really optimistic that we're going to see some new spicy brews.
I think right now they're really hoping. They're like, maybe it won't happen. Maybe people will say, I now have the tools that I needed to craft a cage for this cat.
Yeah. But I just, oh boy, do I not want to see some more Saheeli cats running around at the Pro Tour.
Well, okay, but do you remember last Pro Tour, there weren't any Saheeli cats in the top eight.
That's true.
There were none.
No.
There were nearly exclusively Mardu vehicle stacks.
It was a freeway last Pro Tour.
Ooh, it really was. It was a highway.
Life was a highway.
Yeah, I was going to say the Pro Tour was a highway, and the pro players rode it all night long.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. I'm, you know, I guess if you had to ask my opinion, I would have been of the opinion to ban. Just because I think the decision was made sort of on precedent in that, well, you know, we don't especially like banning cards, which I 100% understand the sentiment behind. But at the same time, what I want even more than that is to have a diverse standard format. And now that our standard is longer than it has been ever before, it makes a good case to be a little more aggressive.
It's as long as it were. As it was. It's as long as it were.
What do I mean? I mean more pile of cards, larger. There would be cards now that happened that would be have rotated out, like Gideon, for instance.
Yes. Although we would have had other new sets.
Yes.
Putting them in.
So, that's true.
Yeah. It's
but I, you know, I'm crazy. Not going to be a negative Nancy. I'm going to be like, all right, let's wait and see what happens.
I mean, I don't know.
But besides standard, we also had some bannings which affected a legacy.
That's right.
With a ban on Sensei's Divining Top.
Holy cow. Miracles.
Yeah, miracles.
Goodbye.
Get wrecked.
What many people consider to be the best deck in Legacy.
And you
but
like
also
Miracles.
Oppressively. I mean, I've never played Legacy, but it really suits my style. oppressively good.
Yeah.
Oppressively good deck. And so it has now been bid adieu to. Because without the deck, it used this lock of a card called Counterbalance, which was blue-blue. And it says that whenever, if a spell got cast, you could reveal the top card. And if it had the same converted mana cost, then that spell got countered.
Yep.
And then so it used a combination of like things like Brainstorm to like look at all these cards and put some back. And Sensei's Divining Top to look at some cards and put some back to make sure that once you had the counter, you know, the counterbalance and the top both them play, your opponent would never be able to resolve anything ever again.
Yeah, that seems really... That feels bad, man. Feels bad, man.
Yeah. Also, it took a long time to play.
So, somebody... you saw this picture that had put up a sign in front of Wizards of Coast offices.
It said, ban Sensei's Divining Top.
Came true.
Yeah, it really did.
Guess it worked. And we also have a restriction on Gitaxian Probe.
And Gush.
And Gush.
In Vintage.
Yep.
So. Which I think was in response to there was a recent Vintage Super League online where I only watched the preliminary rounds, but there were just a ton of blue white decks running around.
So many.
Just a ton. Monastery Mentor decks is how they won. And then they had lots of things like Gush. Really insane card. So that is now, you know, not entirely booted.
Right.
But they say only one. Restricted, only one.
Yeah, so I think people were mostly happy with those changes. And now people are kind of like, oh, we've got our eye on you, Death Shadow.
That's right. Everybody's keeping an eye on the new modern deck that's hitting the scene. Strutting around like it's
like it
tough
owns
stuff.
The place.
That's right. We'll see. Because if it acts like it owns the place, if it's acts like it owns the place... It shall have to be shown otherwise.
That's so interesting because you find a deck, you break the format.
Yes.
And then it's goodbye like, forever.
I mean, like, well, it's problematic in like modern where it's like it could just be around forever and ever.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see. We'll see if they feel like it's oppressively good.
Okay. Well, there's your banned and restricted update. Go restrict yourself.
I knew you were going to say that. Hey, everybody, we have an Amonkhet booster for Flavortext Theater. Yes. Should we do our classic first round FTT?
Yes.
Movie pitches. We're going to crack open this booster.
Okay.
Take a look at the cards and give you some sick movies that we think should be coming to a theater near you.
We have made some really great movies, I want to point out.
We really have. Look at this cute lifelike cat token.
Oh, Full Art Land. Yes. There it is. Swamp. Swamp, we're putting that in the basket.
Ooh, yeah, that's Full Art Swamp. Look at those ominous horns.
Gonna mix these up a little bit.
Yeah,
Bolas. I mean, who could it be? The God Pharaoh?
That's right. Well, you know, you can tune in next week to learn more about what's happening on Amonkhet with Megan's Storytime.
Storytime, one of the greatest hits, segment hits on Magic the Amateur. Oh, all right. So, what do I want to say about this card? Okay, so basically, I'm going to remake Hellboy.
Okay.
Which, have you seen the Hellboy movies? Or read the comics or anything?
I remember them vaguely.
Okay, so basically, that's what this is. Except, so like, born of hell, comes to Earth to, you know, like, oh, I don't quite like what I've been, and I'm going to be a better Minotaur than I ever was. It's Emberhorn Minotaur, which I couldn't think of anything else once I thought that this was Hellboy. So sorry, everybody. You're getting another Hellboy movie. Yep.
Okay, so this is like the follow-up to The Warriors.
We talk about that show so much on this podcast.
It's so great.
Go watch it.
It's a great movie. So it's like an 80s dystopian gang film. Except this one is about a gang that hangs out. Their home is an old boxing gym. But because they don't have any of the equipment, they just focus on just getting like really ripped.
Cool.
And then like they try, their goal is to get so ripped that they don't even ever have to physically fight people. They just intimidate them by their physical appearance. Is like how fit they are.
All right.
It's called Nest of Scare Abs. So use their abs to scare people.
I'm terrified.
Nest of Scare Abs.
I have another film about that's set in a dystopia, and it's a future dystopia, as they usually slash always are. And what happens in this one, it's kind of like a little bit, what am I thinking of, where they have to fight each other, you know, Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. But not really. But basically, in order to get supplies to live, food, building materials, clothing, whatever you need.
Yeah.
One member of your clan, however that happens, I'm not sure if it's family members or if it's you can choose your clan, has to go and fight for them. And one person will leave alive and the other person will leave dead and then you get their supplies, which makes for quite a brutal society. But what happens when you win, so that you don't just keep going in and winning again and again, is that every time that you win in the ring, you have to be somehow encumbered your next time.
Wow.
So they might like
Real Harrison Bergeron situation.
Just like wrap your limb so you only would have one arm, or tie your legs together. It's some kind of...
Wow, that's a big encumbrance.
Yeah, it's brutal. But there's one person who has been encumbered more than anybody else and keeps winning.
Wow.
In the ring. Glory Bound Initiate.
Nice.
So it's kind of like a futuristic Rocky situation. I don't know.
Okay. So this film is about some of the tales of the unsung, quote unquote, you could, like, depending on how you feel about the situation, heroes of the Manhattan Project.
Oh.
Because in addition to all of the scientists working out in the desert, there were all of the offices in the nearest town, which were staffed by a lot of women who had to work with, like, the people who were knowing if these were people who should be going, like, were allowed to go into the desert and taking them there. So they were kind of like one of the front lines of defense of defending all of the info of the Manhattan Project. And this is about, like, the woman who is sort of, like, in charge of all of them there in the town offices, and was known for just being, like, so ferocious. And so, like, so, you know, well suited for her job, and just being, like, the most difficult person to get across because she's so sharp and so smart. Wasteland Scorpion.
I would watch the heck out of that.
Because it takes place in the desert.
That's the Wasteland Scorpion. Right? That's a great idea for a film, seriously. Okay, this one is really cool, I've decided. And it's looking at the backstory of the Wizard of Oz. So we mentioned the Wizard of Oz earlier in the show. What I mean is the guy who ends up being the Wizard of Oz. Spoiler alert. I want to know his deal.
Didn't they make that movie?
Did they?
I'm pretty sure they did, but it was, like, not good.
Okay, we'll make it a good version of it. Like, what is he doing there? What is his motivation? What is this weirdo? Anyway, it's called The Edifice of Authority, because that's essentially... Ooh,
that's a great title.
...what he was. And why did he have this weird need to have a power trip, like, in Oz?
Okay, hold on. I'm Googling movie that is the backstory of the Wizard...
While you were sleeping. While you were sleeping, called it now.
Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That makes sense. When was that made?
2013. Let's see. I wonder what its, like, Rotten Tomatoes score is. We can find out.
25.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's hit on reception.
You know, now I'm, like, having all these weird memories of different Wizard of Oz remakes that I've seen. There was a made-for-TV one, and... Oh, man. Who am I thinking of?
Who has a 59% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's not too good, but...
Yeah. It suffers from some tonal inconsistency and a deflated sense of wonder.
Oh, well. Edifices of Authority would have no deflation in its wonder. Yeah. I'll just put that out there.
Okay. So my next one is about... this is a classic, you know, like... guy who's, you know, you see some of his life on Earth, and he's very hardworking, and a very, very good person. And he dies and he goes to heaven. And he's like, this is great. But then, you know, a bookkeeper of heaven comes to him and is like, there's, like, I'm sorry, but there's, like, there was a terrible mistake down on Earth, and someone died who wasn't supposed to.
Oh.
And we can't bring him back. He went to hell.
Yeah.
And so we need you to go live this guy's life. But he wasn't, because you're very similar. Like, you fit the qualifications, but the only big difference is that he was a very bad person and you were a very good person.
Oh my God, I'm watching this too.
And he's like, so you need to go back. We're going to send you back down to Earth. And you need to fool everybody. But here's the catch. I don't get to decide if after you're done fooling everybody, if you come to heaven or if you go to hell after that.
You have to make, like, up enough of his crap. Yes,
exactly. Like, you both have to fool people into thinking that you're still this guy and, like, earn your way back into heaven a second time.
Megan, this is a real movie.
It's called Gift of Paradise.
That is a real movie. I don't know who's starring. Probably Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's a real movie. Okay. My movie is the other half of your movie.
Okay.
So So we see that him going and living the life on Earth, but we also see the life of the guy who got mistakenly, what happened to him when he died? Did he just disappear?
That's like, he wasn't supposed, he just died, but he wasn't supposed to so yet. Like it wasn't his time. His soul isn't
anywhere?
No, he went to hell because he was a bad person.
Okay.
So he died and he went to hell and they were like, we need to put him back in his life. And hell was like, sorry.
So maybe not. Maybe this won't work then. But instead, I'll change the plot of what this is somebody who basically decides to live in the woods and reject society and has rejected society for many years until a runaway teen finds her way to his secluded house and teaches him once again to love humanity, forsake the worldly.
Aww, cute.
I feel is some kind of indie flick.
Yeah. All right. This one is the alternative title for Up, except instead of having a dream where he, you know, floats his house up with balloons, he just doesn't. It's called Ancient Crab.
Oh, I do not want to watch that. Just some animated curmudgeon for an hour and a half.
Yep.
Okay, what on earth is this one? Okay. Okay, I got it. So it's basically The Godfather.
Okay.
But it takes place in Egypt, of course. Yeah. Or some desert area like the Sahara.
Okay.
And the mafia is happening in the desert, but with water. Because it's society that has no access to water because it's a desert.
So it's like a cross between The Godfather and Fury Road.
Yes. Okay. Yes, precisely. But this,
I would watch this.
This mafioso is very nice, actually, and wants to help people. Desert Caro Don. Because he's a very caring Don. I don't know if this is actually pronounced Caro Don. I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
So anyway, but my pun only worked one way.
Okay, so this one is about this is a film about a scientist who his kid
shrinks the family.
This is the stupidest film of all time. This is the stupidest pitch I've ever made.
Yes.
So it's gonna be in the style of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's part animated and part real world.
Horrifying. Okay. I was so scared of that movie growing up.
Me too.
Oh, okay.
So this scientist, his daughter dies of an allergy.
Okay.
She's just super allergic and she ends up going in anaphylactic shock and she dies. And the scientist who before had been committed to all sorts of like doing good with science is just like, I'm going to turn science to the destruction of Earth.
Whoa.
Like I'm going to
just
pull
fed up with
like
it.
Nature. He's like, I'm going to pull apart nature as we know it. And like, I'm going to make the planet pay. And so all of these plants come to life and have to teach him about like the love and care and goodness of plants. It's called Haze of Pollen.
Oh my God. You know what Haze of Pollen is?
What?
It's that M. Night Shyamalan movie.
So my original pitch was it's just the happening. I did think of that one.
Okay, everybody, from now on, card nickname Haze of Pollen is the happening. Okay?
Yeah.
Lock that one in. All right. This movie is actually kind of interesting. It's where there a reality exists where there are psychics or people who, rather precogs, they see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But they because of this ability, they can neither speak nor see or anything.
Wow.
So what has to happen is there's somebody who works with them to write down and interpret what they've said. So they have to, it's kind of a symbiotic relationship. But that person doesn't really have a say. They're kind of assigned this position in society. And so they kind of like have some kind of Vulcan mind meld situation going on where the, precognitive person transfers what they've seen to the person who has to write it down or interpret it somehow. And then that person is responsible for putting whatever has happened out into society.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If they don't write it down, it doesn't actually happen.
Holy shit.
So this person has, it's like, They must.
This is
do
like
it.
Minority Report.
It is like Minority Report.
But more.
Yeah, but Minority Report 2. Was there one?
I'm into it.
So, of course, the movie plot device is that they are required to write something that they don't want to happen.
Yeah.
And the reason that the government makes them write it is because they want to always be ahead and know what happens so that they can intervene. But this person doesn't want whatever this is to actually happen. So they refuse and have to go on the run. But they take their, you know, precog with them everywhere. Scribe of the Mindful.
Ooh. Nice. Okay. I just have a really stupid one for you again.
Okay. I really liked, I don't know if it can beat Ancient Crab.
Except instead of attaching his house to balloons, he just doesn't.
Okay.
No, okay, so this one is about an archaeologist who goes on an archaeological dig in Egypt and climbs into a tomb and in there finds a mummy who is alive.
Terrifying.
Yeah, finds a mummy who has been alive for thousands of years. But the thing is that this archaeologist has kind of always been like a weird loner. And like, has never felt really understood. Aww. And he feels really understood by this mummy. And he feels terrible. He's like, oh my goodness, if I like just dig everything up and like take you to the museum, like you're gonna live the rest of your life behind glass. He falls in love with this mummy and takes it home, and it's about him caring for the mummy, although it obviously doesn't work out because the mummy begins to, in the humidity of the world, decompose and disintegrate. It's called Festering Mummy.
Oh, a tragedy.
A real tragedy.
Well, these lovely cards are going into the basket for the giveaway, including Glory Bound Initiate, which
I think this card is like quite good.
I think is going to be a thing.
One and a white for a 3/1 that you can exert when you do. It gets +1/+3 and gains a life link until end of turn.
Yeah,
pretty incredible.
If there is a white attack style deck in this format, which of course I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
This is 100% in it.
Like Thraben Inspector, this, and then Always Watching.
Sure. Yep. So I think it's going to happen and it goes in the basket. So let's do a drawing.
Nice.
Well, cats and kittens, kittens of kids. That's our show this week. But before we go, of course, we have some very important business to attend to. And that's our Patreon drawing.
That's right, everybody. So this month in Patreon, the winner of the cards that we have opened during the month, including the ones just from today, as well as some additional boosters from recent sets and the Sweet Mox Boarding House t-shirt.
And I'm going to put some tokens in here. Split these apart.
And the tokens and some zombie tokens from the Magic Art Show Patreon.
Yes.
Or Kickstarter.
Kickstarter.
Super awesome. These super sweet. Let's see. You'll get some zombies and some soldiers.
Yeah, you can still go donate.
Is Robert Negrete
from California. Congratulations, yay! Robert.
If your address is in Patreon, we will send this off to you. If it is not, please send us a message. And then our winner of a super sweet.
Yes.
One of the masterpiece sword play mats from GP San Antonio, as well as a pair of these battle decks from Card Kingdom, is
we've got Caitlin Ranson from Australia. Yay! Caitlin.
So congratulations to our winners. If you would like to get in on this sweet action, you can contribute to Patreon. It also means just the world to us.
Yeah.
Keeping the show running, helping us, you know, produce content that we hope that you love to hear.
Speaking of producing content that you love to hear, coming up this weekend, we have a very special visitor who's joining us in town to help us record some of our very important Patreon rewards.
What? Maria, who could it be?
It's the professor!
What?
The professor himself is flying in to help us film some more much anticipated episodes of My Roommate is a Planeswalker.
That's right, as well as some other videos that we've got planned, you guys, that we're super excited about.
So get ready for those to be hitting YouTube soon near you. Come subscribe to our channel, youtube.com/mtacast, so you get pinged when those new My Roommate is a Planeswalker videos go up. Let me tell you, they're going to be to be pretty good, everybody. Awesome. So, yeah, really excited for that. And the reason we can do it is because you're our patrons.
That's right. Like, we literally would not be able to do it if you did not make this show happen. Thank you, as always, again, to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Wonderful sponsors that also help us make all of this wonderful content for you.
So, yeah, get out there, play some Amonkhet. It's already on Magic Online. I'm sure you can draft it in real life, pick up a box from Card Kingdom and play with your friends. We're going to have a friend draft here at my place tomorrow. It's a great way to get familiar with the set and just have a stinking good time. You know?
So, you know, draft happy, you cool draft cats.
Okay, go.
Hey, everybody. Maria doesn't even need to turn around for this, but she's going to. We just realized that I didn't give you my next five or the other half of my top five pastries.
You need to know. People need to know.
They are macaroons.
Yes.
Old-fashioned donuts. Beignets. Cookies of any kind. And the number one. I know I said I didn't rank these, but I do know which one is number one.
Okay.
Eclairs.
Yes. Well done.
Thank you, everyone. This has been Megan's Top 10 Pastries.